Hello everyone, Packard Sonic here. Due to a small error on my part, on last week's show, the logical fallacy that was added was incomplete. I am adding that one from last week on this week's episode so you can hear it in its entirety. Next week, there will be a brand new logical fallacy for you to enjoy and hopefully be able to use. Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
Jason said that that was all cool and everything, but his grandfather smoked like 30 cigarettes a day and lived until 97. So, don't believe everything you read about meta-analysis of methodologically sound studies showing proven causal relationships.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the anecdotal fallacy. You used a personal experience or an isolated example instead of a sound argument or compelling evidence.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com.
This is episode 119, recorded on August 2nd, 2013. Packard pokes at Cop-Ophelium.
You can also now watch Packard pokes at on Atheism TV at youtube.com/atheismtv and, as always, on youtube.com/packardpokesat. Come to the live show and chat with us on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on vonlive.tv/packardpokesat. See you there!
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/packardpokesat. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/packardpokesat helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokesat, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokesat. I am your unmutable and mutable host. Unmutable? I can sometimes mute myself. Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far, far east coast is Crystal Says So.
Oh, that was awesome. Good evening, sinners.
And joining us from the far, far west coast to make a return visit is Medusa Rantz.
Hang ten, babies.
Unless you're doing the nude, then it's hang 12. So.
Well, then.
We have a nice short show for you tonight, so let's get on with the show.
Building a better future, science and technology.
If you're ever out there and you are looking to get party balloons or things of that nature, well, this may be your last chance. Helium is now showing up in short supply. The helium market that goes to weather balloon or to party balloons and things like that, while it is a small market, it is zapping the helium market overall because helium is used in a lot of different things other than just party balloons. It's used in science and medicine, MRI machines, and it's also used in the Large Hadron Collider. And that hasn't floated away, I don't know, but but. The thing is that since helium is in such short supply, we may not be able to have it too much longer. The other thing is with when it comes to it, even though helium is abundant in the whole universe, it's less than 5% of it overall is available here on Earth. And using it, or I should say finding it, and we can make it, but to make it, we need a nuclear reaction, or we have to go to the moon to get it. Both are not great ways to try to get this. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, I think this is really an interesting article because, I mean, we all learned about helium. And, you know, I knew it was a common gas, but I didn't really realize it was rare on Earth. So this is really kind of fascinating, and it kind of points to light how really we do need to kind of be more aware of the things that we do use and recycle them, repurpose them. For them to be able to turn this back into a liquid and reuse it, gosh, I mean, who'd have thunk it even just 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Helium is really important for medical community, for MRI machines and different scientific experiments, and I didn't really even know that. So
yeah, I didn't know they were using MRI machines. I just thought, you know, they were just, you know, using just regular electronics and laser beams or something. I don't know.
I just kind of assumed it was a lot easier to do than to have a nuclear reaction to cause it to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The other way they find it is that they, when they're out drilling because helium's trapped in pockets of gas along with oil. That's one of the byproducts. So after I heard this, I can, okay, well, maybe Palin had it right. Dig, drill, baby, drill.
No, I want that helium. No doubt.
Yeah.
So no more sucking on helium balloons, you folks. You hear me?
Yes. No more going, I'm getting sucked. That's really funny. Yes, you're just wasting it, man. You're just wasting it.
I was really close to getting a balloon for tonight. I just want you to know that.
I was at the dollar store today. I look at those helium balloons. I'm like, oh, man, I just can't fathom it anymore. And actually, several weeks ago, I saw a sign that said, sorry, no helium balloons at this time. There's a national shortage. I was like, a national shortage on helium? I was a little confused, but now after reading this, now I know exactly why. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, it's good to know that Dr. Kathy Foley, chief of CSIRO, whatever that means, mm-hmm. Materials Science and Engineering, made the comments ahead of the launch of a helium recycling facility at Macquarie University in Sydney this week. Mm. So there is hope on the horizon. She's bringing critical information to the public at large and to the scientific community, both of which waste helium. Mm-hmm. So we're all sinners, Crystal.
What a cause of that.
Yay!
Yay! More people to convert.
Right.
That's right.
You know what? I don't have any stocks now, but I'm going to come Monday morning. I'm going to go out and buy stocks in helium because, you know, if it's going away, the price can only go up.
Well, you know, it said in this article that the $3 balloons were like had $35 worth of helium in them, and that was like shocking.
Yeah,
to me,
absolutely shocking to me. And we're wasting it on grandma.
Yeah, you know, I want to go out with balloons. Go, hey, want to buy a balloon? Give it to you cheap. You know,
we're just gonna have to go back to blowing up balloons the old-fashioned way.
Yep.
And let the kids pop them with a needle.
Yeah. Well. The old-fashioned way is hold them over politicians' heads, you know, then they fill right up, you know. Well, yeah, the fact is, you know, the prices of helium and everything, it's just, I think that's a big problem here. So,
but I think it is a big problem. I think that the price of helium should reflect its rarity,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
You should just be able to go out and buy a tank for fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's
before too long, you know, seeing balloons, like I said before, you know, seeing balloons in hospitals and bedsides and parties, and just may be a thing of people in the past, and they're going to go, hey, what are those balloons floating in there? Were you got them tied up or something? No, they usually actually float in the air. But
Well, and out here in Cali, where we're sensitive about the ocean, these balloons aren't doing the marine life any favors either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mylar balloons on telephone poles and things
mm-hmm.
like that. Like poles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
When
those
they hit the ocean.
Yeah.
No, well, that's not good.
Well, I was more worried about the lines, the Mylar ones hitting the electrical wires because they just...
That's true, too. I'm worried about the marine life.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's a big problem for them, too. But anyway, we'll fly away from this subject and we'll move on to the... Let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
If you're out in Florida and you get stopped by a cop named Penny Dane, Well, you might be able to look her up. Well, actually, she actually had to resign, so you won't be getting pulled over by her anytime soon. She was a sergeant in the police force down there. The reason why she had to resign is because she put up nude photos of herself on a place called Red Light Center. It's it's a game. It's supposed to be like Second Life. This woman, apparently, she put over 300 graphic photos of herself online, including lewd images taken while she's in uniform. A lot of police officers have been busted down to their socks because they say, hey, I got myself my badge and I'm going to get a little busy here, you know, the whole nine yards. Well, you might be thinking, oh, well, it's just a first-time incident. Well, apparently not. She'd apparently been called out on this before, and she was told, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this, so she was kind of chastised for this kind of behavior before. Now, personally, I don't care if a person wants to show their body, because we all, under these clothes, we put, with the exception of minor differences, we all pretty much look the same. But if you're a police officer, you have a private life, too. I don't see why it really matters, but why? You know, why does anybody even care, you know, that she's taking off her clothes in the first place? I really don't think it's anybody else's business. She wants to send 3 million pictures of herself and plaster them all over the internet. She wants to get famous. Hey, let her get famous any way she wants. A lot of women get famous by showing their tits. Hey, big deal. Crystal, your thoughts?
Officer, is that a sex toy in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Oh!
But I'm bum bum.
Boom!
Bada
boom!
I think that the problem with this is that she was doing this on the job when she was supposed to be responding to the police calls with the radio, and she was on a work computer.
Yeah.
So now we all know if you work a job, you're not supposed to be doing that. And I do believe that the police are held to a little higher standard, and they should be.
Yeah.
You know, her private life is her private life, and that's the only problem that I can see really with that is that she was doing it on the public's dime, really.
Oh yeah, the thing is, that's really not uncommon. Because of my job, I drive around a lot, and I often see two cops sitting there yakking back and forth. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them, unless you know someone really flies by, and because they will sometimes have one of them have the radar on. But they're just sitting there yakking back and forth, you know, being busybody work, you know. But they're on the company dime, you know. No, go ahead, Crystal. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. She brought this on herself because she accused a colleague of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And when she did so, they go to investigate, and then they find all of her 300-plus videos and pictures, and apparently they were really, really graphic.
Oh, Lord.
And she didn't look like she was sorry at all. She had a big old grin on her face. So, there's some people that just, like, infamy is just as great as being really famous, so.
Hey, no publicity is bad publicity.
Exactly.
No, in some cases, I guess.
That's about all I got to say about that.
Oh, okay. Sure, you don't want to put on that uniform and just literally take it off? Just kidding.
Yep, hand me in a uniform. Come on.
Well, you do have a nice nurse's uniform, but that's a whole different story. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, if she were not a cop and she went down and got an outfit and dressed up as a cop and put a million pictures of herself in various sexual positions, you know, to say they're very graphic just makes me tremble. That's one thing. But she was on the public dollar.
Oh, yeah.
And she was supposed to be doing a job.
Right.
And I don't think it was any good of her, how do I want to say this, to bring distrust and shame to the uniform that she's wearing.
Right.
We're supposed to respect the law. Kids read the newspaper now. What is this going to do to kids?
Are you along the lines of the fact that they feel that they should be respecting the person in the uniform?
Absolutely. And I think she suffers from narcissistic personality disorder.
A lot of people say everybody that takes pictures of themselves with their cameras, they were turning into a narcissistic society.
I think we are turning into a narcissistic society.
It's all about me, man. It's all about me.
It is all about. People are. That's what they say. You know, and to claim sexual harassment, I think that she was trying to open herself up and bring attention on herself.
Yeah.
For what she's done.
Well, she was opening herself up in a lot of ways, apparently.
Boom!
Well, Crystal got the best one in.
Yeah, she did.
You can't beat
my
that.
My mind just works that way.
Yes, it does.
But that's my problem with it. In a nutshell, is that she's bringing shame on the uniform. She brings a whole new meaning to protect and serve.
Ooh.
That's for sure. She's doing more serving than protecting.
I think it was a lot of self-serving,
yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it was
I know what you mean, sister.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, she was...
And that's all California has to say.
All right.
Cali out.
All right, well, speaking of self-serving, let's get into our next topic.
I'm going slightly mad. I'm going slightly mad.
And tonight's topic, we're going to talk about prayer in school. And why is prayer in school a bad idea? My take on having prayer in school is, if you're going to have prayer in school for one religion, you have to have prayer in school for all religions. But the problem here in this country is that the religious people, Crystal is within the category, but she doesn't agree with them, and she'll explain why, and she's spoken about it many times, that prayer is not supposed to be in our schools, because the Christian fundies want to push religion into school, because the fact is they think this is a Christian nation, and it is not a Christian nation, not even in the slightest. There will be people who argue that the arbiters or the creators of the documents of our Constitution say that they are Christian in nature, and they're completely not. There is nothing in there that says anything about Christianity except for, say, separation of church and state. And since schools are generally run by the state, they need to be kept separate. Another good reason why they should be kept separate is because the fact is that you've got a child, very impressionable, and you put him in a classroom area, and there are a lot of peer pressure with a lot of other kids, and you got a pressure coming from above, and that would be the teacher, to do what the teacher wants. If the teacher says, well, we have to pray, well, you know what? Then the problem here is, then you're forcing your beliefs onto a very impressionable child. I think that's what the reason why they'd want to do it, because they know that that's what they are trying to do. Medusa, you're going to go first, because you've been going last. We're going to start the timer right now. Here, it's right up here. Oh, there it is, right there. All right, here, start now.
Thank you, Packard. Well, as I recall, growing up, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and that was it. There was no praying in school.
Mm-hmm.
We took naps. We read books. We studied. We listened to the teacher. We didn't have, this is kind of off topic, but we didn't have any discussions about hygiene or racism or any discussions other than what the curriculum was.
Right.
I do think the Founding Fathers did intend to keep church and state. It's quite clear that they wanted to keep church and state separate. And I think they would be mortified if they were beamed out in 2013 to find out that there is prayer in school. And I don't know when this started, but if you're going to have prayer in school, then get the mats out for the Muslims.
Yep.
And, you know, the Sunnis, Shiites, Christians, whatever flavor of the month there is in religion, just don't bring the rattlesnakes out. That gets me all weird. I don't think they count as Christians.
Well, then why don't we just take out the cafeteria or put in a prayer center right in the middle of the cafeteria? Then nothing will get done, because the kids will be, oh, I'm sorry, I can't be in science class today, or I can't be in gym class because I got to go and pray for an hour or something. And then, you know, they're just going to fuck around, and they're just going to kind of, you know, hey, they'll do this and do that and the other thing, you know, and then nothing will get done. And then, you know, then we're all just getting the whole society will just drop to down as it is. I mean, it's bad enough as it is that we're losing educational scores right now.
Most kids in America don't have an attention span for religion, much less their curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not afraid about prayer in public schools. If you want your kid to pray in school, there are private schools.
Yeah, take the order. If you want your kid to pray in school, there are private schools available for that.
Yeah, and avail yourself of that.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of those are you have to pay. And, you know, if you want to pay, you play or pray. If you want to pray, you got to pay, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to pray, you're going to pay.
Right, and then you know the thing is, so what does God need money for? But that's a topic for another discussion.
To buy more books to teach you how to pray.
Sure, there you go. Crystal, your thoughts?
Oh, the thing is, it's just fascinating because this has been a highly debated topic, you know, as far as even back in the early 1900s, with several legal precedent cases taking place, actually one in Wisconsin.
Yep.
I think the one that I kind of liked the best was the Lemon versus Kirkman case in 1971, which came back with the Lemon Law, and that's how they established whether it's going to be legal for you to do this or not. And it says that, you know, number one, you must have a secular purpose, you must neither advance nor inhibit religion, and you must not result in excessive entanglement between the government and religion.
Right.
Well, you know, I personally could just take it down to a darn human level. I think it just makes sense that if you're a parent, especially, you feel like that you need to be the one instructing your children. I do not want the government in my business. I don't want them in my health care. I don't want them to tell me how to raise my children. I certainly do not want to leave that up to a school, a teacher, a district, whatever, to teach my child a religion. There are lots of religions, and yep, they're not ones that I would adhere to. So I think that if you take it to just the simple level like that, then I think everybody should be against prayer in schools.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, there's a great meme that goes around, and it says, so you want prayer in school? And it has a picture, be careful of what you wish for, because it shows this girl doing this thing, and her hand up in the air, and there's a pentagram on the floor, and there's skulls and things. So, yeah. Well, all right, if you want prayer in school, let's bring them all in.
And for the pagans.
Make room for the pagans, too.
Exactly. But you know, in that same vein, I do believe that the kids should be given the opportunity to pray and not feel intimidated or
there's no law. See, that's where a lot of the funnies screw up, is because they think that there's a law that says that they can't pray in school, which is not true.
No, the law says that they're allowed to pray in school in the United States as long as it is not officially sponsored by the school and it does not disrupt others from doing their work.
Right. And the thing is, though, at functions of any kind, they're generally not allowed. There have been cases where the students have led a prayer, like at graduations and so forth, but those are basically illegal. Because that is put on by the school, so therefore it is a school function. If this was a graduation party after the graduation that they want to have a prayer session, go for it. Go for it all you want. But during a sponsored setup for like the schools, keep your prayer to yourself. Your religion is not part of the curriculum, and I don't care if you don't like it or not. Not you, Crystal. I mean you. Overall.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to add on that?
Because
we got about a minute left here.
Ironically, no. I mean, I was just like kind of looking at some of the different places, like Greece and Iran, Australia, in Italy, and the UK,
mm-hmm,
do allow prayer and or in state sponsored prayer,
right?
Which is a little bit different from the United States. But you know, if they really wanted to fight this thing, they could get just to the point of it says clearly, as long as it's not disrupting others,
right?
You know, and so some of the prayer ceremonies of frequency would disturb some of the other kids. So really they could clearly fight it on that battleground, actually.
Yeah, I Dawkins Dog comment in the chat room. He says, I was forced to pray in school. It did me no harm. Twitch.
Where does he come up with this stuff? I tell you.
I know. He's really good at that. Okay, well, I'm afraid that's our time. Yeah, overall, yeah, prayer in school. If you're a student and you want to pray to yourself, you're more than welcome to. You want to, and a moment of silence, that's actually acceptable, you know, because when I was growing up.
You know something, Packard?
What's that?
I do recall that in that practice in school, that if somebody wanted to say a prayer, they could put their heads down on their desk and say a prayer. If you didn't want to say a prayer, don't say a prayer. But I do recall that being done in elementary school.
Yes. Anyway, as I was saying, the fact is, you know, if you want a prayer to yourself, you go right ahead. But as far as, you know, making everybody else follow a prayer because the teacher said so, no, that's not acceptable. But anyway, we need to get moving, and let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They Were an Atheist? Tonight we're going to be covering Butterfly McQueen. That's an interesting name. I never knew anybody named Butterfly before. Of course, there's a lot of people named after months. April, May, June. I've never met anybody named Butterfly before. But hey, you know, each their own. Butterfly McQueen, she was born in 1911. She lived down in Tampa, Florida. She passed back in 1995. She was 84 in Augusta, Georgia. She was an American actress, originally dancer of McQueen, first appeared as Prissy, Scarlett O'Hara's maid in the 1939 film Gone with the Wind. So if you get out a copy of Gone with the Wind, you can find and see a real-life atheist. Yes, there's one there. she was also continued to act in the 1940s film and 1940s, and moving on to television and acting in the 1950s. So yeah, it's always interesting to find atheists in TV, and you don't know that we went back that far. One of the quotes she said in 1989, the Freedom from Religion Foundation had honored her with her Free Thought Heroine Award. "I'm an atheist," she had declared, "and Christianity appears to me to be the most absurd imposture of all religions, and I'm puzzled that so many people can't see through a religion that encourages irresponsibility and bigotry," she told a reporter. "As my ancestors are free from slavery, I am free from the slavery of religion." She also lamented that humans had not put the energy on earth and on people that had been put into mythology, and Jesus Christ would be less hunger and homelessness. "They say the streets are going to be beautiful in heaven. Well, I'm trying to make the streets beautiful here. And when it's clean and beautiful, I think America is heaven. And some people are hell." So, yeah, you know, the only hell you get is the one here, you know, if you make it like that, I suppose. Crystal, your thoughts?
This lady is really fascinating. I mean, we all know her from playing Prissy in Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm. But to actually go back and look at a little history on her, which I wasn't really familiar with her, just her role as Prissy. But this lady was a really progressive feminist lady. Mm-hmm. And she did a lot of charity work. She did tap ballet classes in Harlem for the kids that could not afford them. And she really was a humanist, I think, more even so than an atheist. I think her humanistic side really shows through in her bio. But she got the name Butterfly, if you didn't see that, because she was in A Midsummer's Night Dream. Oh. And she was a butterfly because of her arms, way that her arms go. So she legally changed her name to Butterfly McQueen.
Oh,
but that's
okay.
How she got that nickname.
Okay, no, I must have missed that. I must have missed that one.
Well, I did a little bit of digging because I just thought that she really had an interesting story to be from the earlier 1900s and to be that progressive and to be a woman and to be a black woman at that. And she really fought against the system. And you can't argue with her quotes. The quotes that she had were just genius.
Yep.
And, you know, when this lady died, she donated her body to medical science.
Yep.
And
she died in a very, very bad way, though. She died from burns sustained as from a kerosene heater she attempted to light.
She
oh
had
my
second
gosh.
And third degree burns.
Mm-hmm. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, I brought her to your attention, and you guys did the digging.
Yep. I got a big shovel.
She was just a beautiful woman while she was on this earth, and she was so much more than an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And a apart from being an atheist. She gave so much of herself to people around her and to causes that she was caught up behind. I don't really have a lot more to add. You guys pretty much covered it, you know.
Yeah.
I just think it's fascinating. I mean, I looked her up and saw she was an atheist, but I had no idea that she was such an accomplished woman.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, she had quite a few films and TV shows. She was in The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Mosquito Coast, yeah. Polly, Making a Legend, Gone with the Wind. She was in an interview, The Phalanx, Hallmark Hall of Fame. The list goes on and on. Yeah, she was very busy from 1939 all the way up to 1989. So she had something going on for almost, well, not quite every year, but pretty close to it.
She did not waste one drop of her life.
Nope.
She gave every single bit of herself to people around her.
Right.
And I think that's all I have to say about her.
Yep. She was an amazing person, and she is on the list of, did you know that she was an atheist? Okay, before we get out of here, we're going to tell you how to contact us and where to find us and drop us an email, because we know you want to contact us. Oh, and one special quick note here. We did, as of yesterday, the 1st of August, we passed 200 subscribers. Well, actually, we passed today, but we had 200 subscribers as on the channel today. So congratulations to everybody that makes the show possible, and thank you for watching and coming and listening to us knuckleheads and giving us our opinions.
So hey,
I'm including myself in that there, Medusa. Don't feel bad. I'm the biggest head knucklehead around here. So
you've got knuckles on your head.
Well,
I want pictures.
Sometimes I do. When I was a kid, I'd get a lot of knuckles in my head.
So. Put a cop's uniform on and send me some photographs.
Also, if you want to make a donation to the show, there is a site. It's called Patreon. As you look at patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, we are there. If you want to make a donation of $50, $50 one is a hat. The $100 one is a free T-shirt, and the $200 one is a free sweatshirt or free hoodie, either way. So, hey, go over to Patreon and sign up for an account, or donate a dollar, you know. Or you can go over to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt and buy a nice little coffee mug or bear or anything else that's on there.
Mouse pad.
So mouse pad, yeah, they have mouse pads. If you want the Packard Pokes at logo on your desktop, just go over there and buy something neat for yourself. But anyway, all right, so if you want to get in contact us, we're going to tell you how to do that right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And wow, Joe's right on the ball again tonight, even though he's not here.
He's panting in the chat room, though.
I know. He's breathing hard. I can hear him all the way through here. Oh, one other quick note. We've been doing logical fallacies on the podcast. So if you're not downloading the podcast, then you're missing out on some great audio clips that are not included here on the show. We're doing logical fallacies and Bible contradictions. So if you're if you want to find the podcast, go to iTunes and type in the search bar Packard Pokes At, and you'll be able to download the show. Or if you don't have an iTunes account or you don't like iTunes, and there's a lot of people out there that don't, just go over to packardpokesat.wordpress.com, and you can, the audio clip is right there and you can hear that. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming, and thank you, Crystal and Medusa, for joining me tonight. And we're going to get out of here. So this has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Contradictions in the Bible.
Did Jesus speak at his hearing before Pilate? According to Matthew 27:11, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. In this passage, Jesus doesn't answer the charges. However, in John 18:37, "You are a king, then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." In this passage, Jesus answers the charges. Did you like that, kids?
Yay!
Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you will have to wait until next week.
Oh.